There, all right. Good morning. You hear me? That's good. See, this is fine. This is just right. We got big preacher, little preacher. This is fine. Only problem with this one is it's too far away for me to read. It's my eyes. But it is good to be with you all today. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. And then, if you would, grab and put a finger or a mark in to Matthew, chapter number 5. I really had no idea what Pastor Jimmy is going to be talking about today, but as I sat there, I realized that God did. And you know what's amazing is that He talks to both of us, and I'm okay with that. And as I began to pray about what that God laid on my heart to just share with you, it fits. I know that may surprise you, but it just fits. Everybody's over here. Are these more comfortable chairs over here or something? I don't know what that is, but there must be something about that corner. So this morning I want us to just celebrate what God has done. And Pastor Jimmy and I spent a lot of time together just celebrating what God has done, and even just asking God for a vision for the future. And I so appreciate His friendship, and I know that my wife Ruth so appreciates Carla's friendship as well. I often get worried when they're together. I really do, because they're my wife is not here this morning. She's with my youngest daughter, and she's feeling bad. But I can say this: she perceives her perception is that she's real quiet and sweet, but she's got a mischievous side to her. And when she gets with Miss Carla, it's not good sometimes. I know that some of you that know her well, but it's a blessing. This morning, I want us to look at something that God's laid on my heart. And that is what I believe is a need in the life of every church. And I believe what your pastor said right up front here ties it all in. There is a huge need and a huge void in the church of America. Y'all with me? Amen? You won't scare me if you say amen, I promise you. You won't scare me. I tell people I've preached in some of the roughest prisons in Kentucky, and you all won't scare me, I promise you. But it's amazing as I look around what is going on in the life of the church today. There is a void. There's a lack of passion. I believe sometimes even a lack of understanding of what we're to be about as the church. And so it's something that I study. I study our cities. I study our region. I study our pastors. I study our numbers. I look at those things. And you know, it all comes back and is answered in the Word of God. And here's what I believe is the key to it. And there are thousands of references to it. Revelation talks about this that I believe just kind of cuts to the core of it. It talks about that we have left our first love. We have missed it, that we have fallen in love with other things. And if we were just to take a poll across this place today, there are things many times that we love more than we love God. More than we love the Lord's church and His bride. We get our priorities out of order sometimes, don't we? All right, two of you are with me on this. The rest of you are just lying. All right, I'm going to have a good time. I want you to come with me. But the reality is we get our priorities out of order. We celebrate the things that we ought to just simply, if you would, give a little golf a clap for. And yet we forget to celebrate the things that God is doing in a great big way. We will get excited about the Colts winning a ball game, and yet we come into the house of God and someone goes through the baptismal waters and they have been changed and made new, and we're kind of like, well, that's good, Pastor. In all reality, we have gotten our priorities in the wrong place. Y'all with me? Pastor Jimmy and I didn't talk. I just want you to know that. This morning in Ephesians chapter number 4, I believe that in verse number 11 and reading through verse number 16, I want us to look at what it says here. And this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he is reminding them to get things in the right place. Ephesians 4, and I'll begin reading in verse number 11. The Bible says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together by compacted which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now I want you to understand today that there are probably several sermons in every verse that I just read. So I don't have time for that, and we're going to look at that just in a highlight type mode. But today I want you to think about this thought process while I preach this sermon, and that is this: employing our calling. The idea of employing our calling. I think sometimes in churches we miss and we mess up what a true calling really is. Now let me just break some things down as to what a calling is not. Our talent is not our calling. Well, I'm talented at something. There are things in this place. The other day I watched Bob buzz around at the meal kitchen there, and that's a talent for him. And it was amazing that it just kind of, he wheeled around and sometimes he was talking and didn't look, and he knew where the sugar and the cream and the salt. And I thought to myself, he knows exactly where everything is at. And there, not only in the midst of that, but then he was making a real estate deal while he was doing all that. I thought, man, that's talent. That really is. I don't know about you, but I look at some of you and I can't chew bubble gum and walk at the same time. Amen. Don't look holy at me. Y'all grinning at me. I've seen some of you all as well. All right. The reality is this, that there's some that have a talent. There's a young guy in, I can say that, NBA. I can't even remember his last name. I was watching him the other day. New point guard for Houston. Y'all know what's his last name? Man, I'm telling you what, I'm not, of course, you can tell I'm not a big basketball person. I'm more of like the football kind of person, like the football, not necessarily playing it, but the ball. But I was watching this guy, and he's just miraculous with his talent. I mean, he had these guys just, I mean, he can act like he's throwing the ball that way, and with his finger, he's underhanded passing it by. I just watched, and I thought, man, that's talent. There's a difference between a talent and a calling. Maybe his calling and his talent are similar, but there's a difference. Let me tell you this as well. There's a difference between your gift and your calling as well. Today in the church, many times we mess up those differences as well. We think that our gift is our calling, and let me give you an explanation. There are those that have got a great calling in their life. Pastor Jimmy is a great encourager to his director of missions. That is a gift that God has gifted him with, and that is that gift, if you will, of encouragement. He is a visionary. That's a gift that God has gifted him with. But again, listen, that is not his calling. God has gifted the people of this place with different gifts, but again, I remind you that is still yet not your calling. The reality is this, that I look at Bob, and there's that gift that God has given him to take care of that meal kitchen, and that is again a gift, not the ultimate calling. And I think of Austin and the things that he does, and I think about Scott and the things that he does, and the family here and the things that they're involved in, and Dan, and I think about the giftedness that God has given to them. But there is a difference between your giftedness and your calling. I think about Pastor Randy that has just left and gone to Ossian, and the gifts that that man carries is an amazing thing, and his gifts and my gifts, we don't, all of our gifts don't always match up, but there is a difference between your gift and your calling in your life. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 16, I pray that you understand, is a calling upon all of our lives. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's not a gift. That's a calling. I want to dig deep into that today. Because here's what I pray you understand today. We can as churches function in our talents and our gifts and miss our calling. We can miss it. I had a man in our church that finally, after about 5 years of investing in his life, his name was William. William was a loose cannon. He had three bouncing baby boys. They grew up to be about 6'8" and monster boys. And William was just a young man that just had a passion to love people. And he was a gearhead. He could take a screwdriver and a monkey wrench and rebuild an entire church bus and a after dinner. I mean, he was just that kind of guy. And he wanted to be about the master's business. And the key was this, to know his talent and yet for him to grasp his calling in life. You see, he got excited about those church buses. I would say to him, listen, William, you just keep our fleet of church buses up and running. And I'd drive by and William would have one disassembled on Saturday night. And I was going, William, that thing's got to be rolling in the morning. He's like, oh, I got it, preacher. I got it. And that thing would be clean and it would be running and it would be smooth. I just decided I'd rebuild the transmission after dinner on Saturday night. William, you can't do that. Listen, I just want to make sure that this thing's safe so that the children that are coming in here will hear the gospel of Jesus and it won't break down. You see, listen, if it were about his talent, then the calling didn't matter, but he had a perspective on the calling of his life, and therefore he employed the talent and also employed the calling. And we're gonna talk about that. Listen, William had a third grade education. William struggled to even write his name. But William had a heart for Jesus Christ. Had a heart. See, there's a difference in that. Today, I want you to understand that, listen, I want you to think about this, that there was a day in our life we were building a building and God was blessing us, and there was a forklift repair that needed to happen, and I walked around and I would call, you know what we did, and this was just when YouTube came out. Y'all, some of y'all didn't know that YouTube never, there was a time it began. There was a time. And so there wasn't that option. And I can remember as I was calling people and saying, hey, fix this. I can't figure out what's going on. And here's what was amazing was this, that there was a man that came in on a mission trip. And listen, he walked up to the thing and he listened to it for a minute. And he said, well, I can tell you what it is. There's something in that filter right down there. And it, listen, I had spent days working outside of my talent to fix what we needed at that moment. And within a matter of about 3 minutes, he had repaired that thing. It was running like never before. Listen, here's what it was. He was serving in his calling of lifting high the name of Jesus. He was from another state. He was in the right place at the right time. I was out of my talent. He was in his talent. And listen, the problem was solved. Here's what I want you to understand. God has got this thing figured out. If we'll just figure out that God's got this thing figured out. When we function inside of our calling. I'll never forget that there was a man that came to our office and we were working and this building was 40,000 square feet. And he said, listen, I've never done much construction, but is there something that I can do? And he said, I'm okay with figures. And so is there something I can do? I said, sure. And I noticed this man. I shook his hand and his hands were soft. He was not used to construction trade. And I can remember I had him outside of all of our exit doors. We had to pour these pads that were 6 foot by 6 foot squares. I said, can you do that? There's 32 of these things. Can you do that this week? He said, sure. You show me one and I'll make sure the rest of them are taken care of. So I did. I would watch him throughout the week and I'm telling you, listen, those concrete pads outside of that building were exactly at a half a degree slope from the building. They were exactly 6 foot to the front, 6 foot to the back. They were level, if you will, from corner to corner and corner to corner. They were broomed just right. They were edged just right. Everything, I mean, immaculate. At the end of that week, I stopped and I asked this man this question. I noticed this week that you did a great job. But I also noticed that this is not what you typically do. He said, no, sir, it's not, Pastor. It's not what I typically do. Do you mind me asking you this question, sir? What do you typically do? He said, well, it's funny that you should ask. I love math, and early on in my life, I knew what I felt like I needed to do because I was talented in a certain area. And he said, now I work for a little company by the name of NASA, and I determine when the rockets leave orbit and when they come back into the Earth's atmosphere. And he was pouring concrete all week long. I thought to myself, boy, have I ever gotten him out of his talent. Why do I say that? Because when we are functioning in our calling, many times God will ask us to serve outside of our talent. Because it's not about our performance, it's about His power through us. In this passage of Scripture, I want you to understand that we find that there is a church that Paul is telling, and there's struggles going on in Ephesus. And in churches today, I'm finding that there, if I were to poll this place today, and I did this in a church of our association not too long ago, and I won't ask for a response other than in your mind, and know that God knows your heart anyway. But I asked these questions and I did so out loud, asked them to raise their hand, and by the time that I got done, they were uncomfortable that I was asking these questions and that they had responded to them. So to let you all down easy today, I'm not going to ask you to respond verbally or by raising your hand, but I want you to think about these questions. If I were to ask our churches today, again thinking about employing our calling according to Ephesians 4, would you say that, yes, we are an evangelistic church? I don't want you to answer because it gets rough in just a few minutes, okay? Would you say, yes, we are mission-minded? Would you say that, well, we are a friendly church? We are outreach-minded church. We are community church. We are a discipling church. Now, here's what I did, and probably wasn't fair, but I think they got the picture after I got done, and that was this. I asked them that question, are you an evangelistic church? And if you are, say amen. And they said amen. The entire congregation got it. So then I followed that up and I pray you'll listen to what I'm about to say. I said, saying you're an evangelistic church and being an evangelistic church are worlds apart. This is what I ask them. This morning as we gather together in this house, if you say that you're an evangelistic church, who then did you share the gospel with, and who is sitting beside of you in the pew this morning because you shared the gospel with them? That is the true test if you are evangelistic. You see, the reason that I said that way is this. that the reality of whether or not a church is evangelistic is answered not is the pastor evangelistic, but it is answered by this thought. Are the people sitting in the pew, do they have a heart for evangelism? Again, it has to go past your talent and past your gift, because if we'll be honest, all of us would say that it is sometimes a struggle for us to share our faith. But if we are functioning in our calling, Matthew 5 and verse number 16, and the Bible teaches us that that is what that we're to be about. Let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. There's evangelism all over that passage of Scripture. It is lifting up Jesus. So this morning I ask you this between you and God, and I don't want you to answer to me because I really don't matter. But listen, as I ask this question, you answer it to God. Am I evangelistic minded? Am I mission minded? You see, the reality is this. You say, well, yes, I'm mission minded, but I want you to understand that the Bible teaches that faith without works is dead. If I am not being on mission, then I truly am not mission minded. I am divided. You see, so many quotes about missions, and I believe that it was Spurgeon said this, that we are either on the mission field or we are the mission field. Either we are busy doing what God has called us to do, or we have work to be done in our own hearts and our lives. I asked a church one time, do you consider yourself a friendly church? And they said, oh yes. When I got up there, they said, oh yes. They didn't know who I was. I walked in the door. I made my way to the front pew. They said, oh, I asked them, oh yes, we're a friendly church. And I said, but yet no one spoke to me when I walked in these doors. Those are harsh realities. We say we are something, but yet our actions say something totally different. Community church, but yet we're not in it. A discipling church. And yet if we were to ask, how many of you are investing one-on-one with a lost person or even a new believer? You see, the question is this. Are you praying about your calling? Do you know your calling? Do you understand your calling? Are you employing your calling? Are you sharpening your calling? Are you to be the best that you can be at your calling? And that is to lift up Jesus Christ. And I've got news for you. You will reach people that I will never reach. And that is your calling. Matthew 5:16. So in verse number 11 it says these words. And again, and had some... He gave apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, and it could go on. But here's what it says, if you will, just flying across that is this, that everyone has a different calling in their life. God's calling for you is different than it is to your pastor and to your Sunday school teacher and to whoever. Ultimately, your calling, again, is to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. John 12:32 says, and if He be lifted up, He will draw all men to Himself. Our job is to lift up the name of Jesus. That's it. What are you to be about, church? Lifting up Jesus. What is a ministry to be about? Lifting up Jesus. I don't care if it's serving a meal. I don't care if it's an outreach ministry. I don't care if it's sweeping the floor. I don't care if it's building scaffolding. It's to lift up Jesus ought to be the ultimate, the end result of what we're all about. It is that everyone has a different perspective on that calling, but everything you do needs to be about that calling, lifting high the name of Jesus. So many times we think, well, that's what we have a pastor for, right? I mean, that's what he's there for. He's to be the evangelist and the discipler, and he's to be, let me read that list. He's to be the friendly person, and he's to be the outreach director. He's the one supposed to be out in the community. Listen to me. The Bible, you've missed it, because the Bible says his greatest task is to be in the Word of God, that he may feed the sheep. That's what his role is to be about. You're blessed with a pastor that, listen, does so much more than just that. Everyone has a different area of their calling. Listen to what it goes on and says in verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the saints, plural, all of us. I want you to understand something today. That if you don't do what God has called you to do, then we all suffer for that. All of us. What is it that God has called you to be about? You. What has God called me to be about? If I don't do that, everybody suffers in this entire church. I can remember one time that we became so habitual, if you will, so habit-forming in the life of our church that I decided what I would do was not come out when the service was beginning. Man, there was a buzz that went through that place. Where's Pastor? They begin to knock on our door. Where's Pastor? Oh, no. The sound guy took his place. The musicians took their place. The choir took their place. The song leader took their... I didn't tell anybody. I was in my office and no one knew where I was. And man, I mean, the song service was going and everything. And the song service ended and no one had seen the pastor. Good thing was I had a camera. I could see what was going on. And I just let them sweat for a little while. I mean, the song service is done. The bulletin's done. We can't, there's nothing else we can do. The gospel according to the bulletin was done. We can't sing another song. Where's the pastor? I can remember, I let 2 minutes, 120 seconds pass. Can you imagine? Some people said it felt like 15 minutes, Pastor. We were waiting on you to get out here. Everybody just kind of sat, crossed arms, and looked at each other like, what in the world are we going to do now? When you, listen to me, I believe in the calling of the pastor. I believe that. But God has gifted you, given you talents, and given you a calling. And listen to me. You ought to take it as personal as if the pastor did not walk in the pulpit this morning. If God has placed you in a role, it ought to be your pulpit that you stand and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." You are vital in your role. Y'all agree with me on that? For the saints, everybody. For the ministry, big picture. It's for the ministry, the big picture. It's not for me. Well, I want to make sure that the children's ministry is going very well. And I don't really care about the adult ministry. I don't really care about the meal ministry. I don't really care about the Lifehouse ministry. And I don't really care about the music ministry. Listen to me. They are all tied together according to Ephesians chapter number 4. You can't cut off your leg and expect to walk right. You can't cut off your arm. We are in this thing together. We have got to say, how can we walk this road together? For the ministry, big picture today. Why? Well, because it says, for the body. For the body. The body. What is the body? It's all of us. It's all of us. We're in that. Now I want you to understand, there is a church body, and yet there is a collective body as well. When you're doing what God has called you to do, then we as a body, the great big body, will do what God has called us to do. Let me tell you something. Listen, I want you to, let's just look at it. When your Sunday school class is doing what that Sunday school class ought to do, it strengthens the church. When the church is doing what it ought to do, that it strengthens the churches in the county and the community. When that church is, I'm gonna make sure I don't go to the baptistry. When you step on back and you realize that, you know what, when those churches are doing, then our association of churches is stronger because that everybody is pulling their weight. Listen, here's where, how does a church become stronger? When you are stronger. Junior Hill said, I can take the temperature and the condition and the health of the life of a church. Here's how. I'll put the spiritual thermometer in your mouth. Where are you in your walk with Jesus? Man, that's tough. Verse 13, I love it. So how long? Till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God in a perfect manner, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. How long? Let me just break that down. Till Jesus comes. How long should we be about this stuff? Till Jesus comes. How long? How long? How long should I be faithful in Sunday school? How long should I be faithful in teaching? How long should I be faithful in the ministry, in the music ministry, in the life house? How long? How long? I've got good news for you. It's till Jesus comes. All over in the Word of God, Jesus says again and again, the Lord says again and again, people say, well, how long should I be about this? I love Isaiah. Oh, here am I. Send me. We quote that passage of Scripture, but we forget the last two verses of that same chapter. Isaiah was a, if you will, the poster boy for a commitment to the Lord. But then at the end of it, he said, here am I, send me. And then the end, he says, but wait a minute, how long do you want me to do that? And the Lord said, until there's nobody else to go to. Today I want you to know that, listen, how long should I be faithful to this body of believers, New Life, till there's no one else to go to? Till you come to the church, boy, wouldn't it be a great day, Pastor Jimmy? Come in the church one day and all of a sudden there's a person that walks through the door and they make their way and they sit down at the end of the invitation. Someone gives their heart and their life to Jesus Christ, and Pastor Jimmy's able to stand up in the pulpit and make this statement. Guess what? Every person in Huntington has professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Some of you are going, well, that is absurd to even think that that would even happen. Well, then, I've got news for you that we've got to stay busy until Jesus comes. Y'all with me or not? There's no end. Verse number 14, and then it says, and I love this verse, very harsh, but it's true, that you would be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Listen, quit being blown around. I look at Christians and I look at churches and I wonder, why in the world are they the way that they, why are they where they are? It's because the wind blows and they just blow with it. Like an old tumbleweed that just blows around. Can I just, listen, I'm not coming back tonight, so I'm just going to say it. You want to do your pastor a favor? Listen to me. You be steadfast. You want to do God a favor? Put some roots so deep that when the wind and the waves and the fire and hurricanes and tornadoes and natural disasters and Satan himself comes at you, you put some roots so deep in your life that no matter what comes, that listen, that you know, I'm going to stand here until Jesus comes. You want a passion that happen in the life of a church? Fill it up with men, women, boys and girls and say, I've got a passion, and it's not, oh, I love my church and I love my pastor, but I've got a passion above that, and his name is Jesus, and I'm going to put roots so deep that no matter what wind blows, I'm going to stand like I've never stood before and watch what God do in this place of Huntington. Watch what God would do, my friends. Stand deep right there. What would happen? My friends, listen to me. We would take Northeast Indiana by storm. You see, listen, quit being blown around. Be level as a child of God, not up and down. My friends, be steadfast. What I praise God for is members that when you walk up to them, they've got a handshake, they can look you in the eye. You can say, how are things going? Hey, listen, things haven't been good. There's been waves of storms that have hit my life, but I can look at you eyeball to eyeball and I can tell you, I'm not depressed, I'm not distraught. Why? Because I've got my anchor upon the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. My friends, stay steadfast. Know where you're going to be. My friends, I thank God that as I pastored, there were times that I could look around that congregation and I knew that there were people that were going to be there. I knew where they were going to be sitting. I knew that they were going to be steadfast. I knew they were going to, I may be speaking to the choir this morning, but listen, this body of believers, Jesus, needs you to be steadfast like you've never been before. My friends, listen to me. Verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him all things, which is the head, even Christ. This passage is talking about growing up. There's a man in our church that was serving as chairman of our trustees. You said, well, that's just about the building, and it was. But I asked him one day, I said, can you Tell me what your favorite Bible verse is and quote it for me. I've never really learned much of Bible. I said, man, you're the chairman of our trustees. What's just about the building, Pastor? I'm not asking you to function in your talent. I'm asking you to function in your calling. I said, tell me John 3:16. Preacher, I don't even know that one. We got a problem. Because listen to me, God's not concerned about your talent. God's concerned about your calling. My friends, listen to me. It's more than just fulfilling your duties in the church. It is about fulfilling your calling to God. You see, what I'm trying to say is this. It's time that we grow up and that we get off the milk. The other day, I'll never forget, I don't know, maybe it's cool. I've got enough gray hair in my head, and even my daughters tell me I'm not cool sometimes, and they're nine, you know, 9 and 7, and they're saying, Dad, that's just not cool. Here's the thing, but I saw, it was a guy, and I looked at him, and maybe I'm wrong, but I know he was older than me. If I were to guess, this guy was 70 years old. He was walking, boy, you can see some wild things at Walmart, can't you? Amen, I mean, whoo, you want culture to do that, boy, I'm telling you. I was walking through Walmart and there was a 70-year-old man pushing a, it's disturbing me thinking about it. That's how disturbing it was. He was pushing a buggy and he was shopping and he was dressed bizarre anyway, but then I walked by him and of course you gotta look. Amen. I mean, I'm not that holy. I gotta look and go, what's wrong with this guy? And all of a sudden he picked up a bottle and began to drink from a bottle, a baby's bottle. That's not weird to you all? Maybe I'm just missing it. I don't know. That may be a, to me, that was a little bit weird. And I thought to myself, I laid in bed at night going, what's wrong? Something's messed up. Amen. Something's, y'all with me? Amen. Something's messed up. And then I thought about this verse, and listen to me, I wonder how many times God looks down upon the church and there are 70-year-olds that are sitting in the church house that are still on the bottle rather than drinking. They're drinking from the bottle rather than eating from the meat. That's weird, right? Amen? Boy, when I was talking about Walmart, it was all giddy. And I start talking about the church and it's all quiet. It's wrong, right? It's time that we grow up. You say, boy, preacher, I think it's time you quit. Well, I'm getting there. Listen to verse number 16. The whole body, fitly joined together, compacted, that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in a measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Listen to me. Where everyone employs their calling, they're functioning in their talent. They're functioning in their gift. But they are employing their talent. They're employing their gift. They're employing their calling. That is what it's all about. What happens when that takes place? The body grows. It can't help it. It grows. It grows. It grows. There's nothing that you can do to stop it. Why? It grows. It's functioning the way that it's supposed to be functioning. Listen to me. We make church growth and church planting, and we make church so difficult. Hear me today. I've got the remedy today. How can New Life Fellowship in Huntington grow? It's when the body does what God planted her to do, and that is to grow and to function in our calling. Our job is not that we take care of the ministries. God will take care of those. Our job is to lift high Jesus, and He'll supply the work for the ministry that is at hand. Just as though a 70-year-old man drinking a bottle. My friends, God's got the plan that works. Just as sad that a Christian does not grow, just as sad as when a Christian does not serve. It's amazing to me. Run into people all the time, whether that be pastors or teachers or missionaries or interns at our office. And I love for them to dream. And I say, what do you want to do? And they'll say, well, we want to fill out our paperwork, and I say, No, back way up from that. What's your big picture? Man, they began to tell me the big picture. I had one man that came, one young man that came to me, and here's what he said to me. I thought, boy, that's ambitious. That really is ambitious. Here's what he said. He said, I want the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association one day to call me to take over in Billy Graham's spot. That's what I want. And I thought, praise the Lord, man. That is good stuff. That's dreaming big dreams. And that was his first day. Second day, he called in because he had a cold. I thought, hello, did you just yesterday tell me you wanted to take Billy Graham's spot? And today you've got a sniffle and you got a little nose running, you got a little cough going, a little scratchy in your throat. And then I had a blast with that. That was on a Monday, and he called in on Tuesday, Wednesday. We had a come to Jesus meeting. I said, listen to me, you will never do anything for the honor and the glory of Jesus if you let little minor things set you back. You need to put deep roots in. Boy, you need to let nothing stop you, nothing waver you. Listen to me today. Listen, we will never do great things for the honor and the glory of Jesus until, first of all, we're faithful with the little things. He'll never give us the big things. Some of you are saying, well, I want to do big things for the Lord. Listen to me. You be faithful with the little bit He gave you and watch what God does. The next thing He'll give you, you'll stand back and go, thank you, Jesus. Because it's bigger than what I could have ever imagined. Listen to me. The time is now. The time is now to be busy with our calling. The time is now. Listen to me today. I've got one more thing before I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jimmy. But before I even go to that, listen to me. Listen to me. This is what God laid on my heart. This is pretty straight stuff. You may not like me at the end of this, but you know what? I've got to be obedient to my Heavenly Father because it's not about my gift or my talent. It's about my calling. And my calling is to lift up Jesus. And listen, today I pray that that's what has been done. And I don't mean to offend or I don't mean to be mean. I love you with all of my heart. But I tell you that we're losing the battle in America today. And it is because the church has chosen to remain silent. And we have complained about what's going on around us rather than doing something about what's going on around us. Our lives have got to matter. From this corner to this corner, every person in this room, I pray you hear me, your life needs to matter. You don't need to just blow through it. Your life needs to matter. Many years ago, I entered this building. I've been here 5, 10, I don't know, first time, probably your all's first year in this building. I probably walked in this building. I brought missionaries with me into this place, and we served. One in particular, young man by the name of Jason Tackett, larger in life, big old boy. He'd make every one of you, even you, the largest ones in this room, he'd make you look small. I'm telling you what, he could eat the cornerstone off the building if he was really hungry. I mean, that's how big he was. Monster. Monster. Man, I tell you what, he had a passion. I had the opportunity of leading him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And listen to me, he got it from the very beginning and he never got over it. Never got over it. He was on fire for Jesus. I can remember one day we were doing something up in this tower. And I said, you know what? I said, I need some guys to go up there. And everybody else said, you know what? I'm not going up there. And I said, all right, somebody's got to go. And Jason volunteered to go. I thought, my goodness, we get him up there, the whole tower will fall off. That's what I thought. He's a big old boy. And listen, he was ready. Whatever I needed, he was there. I can remember before I left there, the mountains of East Kentucky, he looked at me and he said, Pastor, I know you gotta go. I understand. My heart's broken, but I know you gotta go do what you've got to do. But here's what I promise you today, Pastor. My life will count. My life, you rest assured, Pastor, my life will count. Man, I backed up. I was like, I get it, big boy, don't eat me. I got it. He said, you rest assured, my life will count, Pastor. My life will matter. Over time, he'd call and he'd call and he'd call and say, man, I've got this mission work going on. Hey, I led my friend to the saving knowledge of Jesus a few years ago. He called me. Listen, at that church where he joined later on, I understood his talent, understood his gift. They ordained him as the associate pastor. He was serving God. He was a big old guy, kindergarten teacher. That's what he was. I mean, it was bizarre watching him take pictures with his crowd, the class that he had. He was impacting their parents. He said, my life will matter. Every time that I talked to him, here's what he said to me. My life will count. My life's going to matter, preacher. My life's going to matter. I love you. My life's going to matter. And he'd hang up the phone. He called me January 1 and he said to me, he said, preacher, I just want you to know, I got engaged last night. I said, I know, I saw it. He worked on the fire department. They brought in a big old ladder truck and he was dressed as Santa Claus out on the front of that ladder truck and they led him up to his fiance or his fiance-to-be's window and he proposed to her right there in a Santa Claus outfit. I mean, listen, it was a beautiful thing and I can remember, listen, his fiance just this past Saturday, week and a day ago, when this past Saturday went down and picked out that dress. Listen, she said yes to the dress is what she had all over the internet and all that sort of thing. They went home. They had a meal and her car didn't start and he took her to her house and he dropped her off and said, baby, I'll come back tomorrow early, pick you up and we'll go to church. She said, that's good, Jason. I'll see you in the morning. Love you. Listen to me. On the way back, he was hit head on and his life ended just like that. My friends, hear me today. Those words ring out in my mind. My life's going to matter. Hear me this morning. You may not make it home. At his funeral in that church building that he helped us build, seat about 750, there were over 1,200 in that place that day. This past Wednesday, as they laid him to rest, there were 18 young people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ at the foot of his casket. Because of the legacy that he lived, he simply let everyone know, my life will matter. And I'm standing here today, a week and a day after his death. He is in glory shouting with the angels and all that has preceded us. And my heart is not sad. It's almost jealous because he just beat me there. But I want you to know that, listen to me, even a man that I led to the Lord is inspiring me to make my life matter. This morning I ask you this question. If today were your last day, would your life have mattered? Have you lived in such a way that others see Jesus in you? Have you lived in such a way that you're able to say, let my light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven? Are you employing your calling? Father, I come to you today and I thank you for our calling. I thank you that you talent us and that you gift us. But God, without our calling, we miss it all. Father, my prayer today is this, that we have had ears to hear, not what I have said, but Father, what you have said. My prayer today is this, that Lord, in just a moment as Pastor Jimmy comes and stands before this congregation, that Father, that Lord, that if there are those that are here and they need to just simply come and kneel and pray and say, oh God, Lord, I want my life to matter. I pray that they would come. For those that may say, I'm not digging deeper in my walk and my relationship with the Lord like I ought to, I pray that they would come and kneel and pray and spend time with you and say, oh God, let me grow deeper in your word. Father, for those that may be here today that say, man, I'm just wasting my life. I am just blowing like the wind. Father, I pray that You would just help them to come down this aisle. And Father, they'd seek Your face and they would ask, oh God, help me dig in some deep roots. Father, that my pastor may know where I'm at, that my Savior ultimately may know where I'm at as well. Father God, in this place, there may be someone that doesn't know You. Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit would just visit them. Lord, help them know that He will not knock them out of their seat, but He is a still, small voice. And He'll draw them. Help them to know that right now, that Lord, to know Jesus is the sweetest thing that we could ever know in all of our days and all of our lives. And Father, I pray that they would just simply come and grab this pastor by the hand and say, help me to know this man called Jesus. I need Him. Father, I pray for this church, that Lord, that we would not sit in the pew. Father, as they celebrated just a few minutes ago about what God has done, Father, sometimes we turn a deaf ear, and Father, we become immune to the good things that God is doing. Father, I pray that this church today would celebrate, that this church today, that there would be a change, that this church today would come to this altar and say, oh God, thank You for what You have done, but Father, I give my life to You. And Lord, let 2018 be something we have never seen before. Let us, oh God, do greater things than ever before in 2018. Father, I pray, draw Your people to Your altar to do business at Your throne. In the name of Jesus, I pray and ask all these things. Amen.